All right, good morning. Probably not the first time you're going to hear this, but I appreciate you getting up early after some of the parties and events last night and being here bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. So we've got quite a bit of content to go through, so we're going to move kind of fast. But this session is the certification prep session or exam preparation session for the MCSE server infrastructure exams, 7413 and 414. My name is Ryan Sokolowski. I'm a senior program manager in the Windows Server and System Center division at Microsoft. I'm going to start going through stuff. We'll probably try to hold questions to the end, just because I think I've got 95 total slides to get through. So we're going to be moving pretty quickly, and I'm pretty sure that the slides are available or will be available on Channel 9 post, at least post the event, if not post session. So we'll take a look here at our session objectives and takeaways, what we hope to accomplish here today. We're going to go through and describe some of the key Windows Server 2012 and 2012 R2, which is an important note, exam objectives. Try to get a better understanding for understanding the question styles for some of you who may not have taken a certification exam in many years or may be new to this field. You're in the right place. Learn how to prepare more effectively, appropriate study material and maybe what's available. I've got some slides at the end. And be able to relate the practical experience you have today with Windows Server 2012 and 2012 R2 and how to apply that to actual exam content, the topics. So our key takeaways, we're going to try to, at the end of the session, hopefully you will in your mind mentally or on paper or on your Surface tablet, you'll identify some areas that you may not have been aware of or prepared for that you may need to do some additional studying to go in and ace the exam, and then basically come up with your action plan to have success in preparing and taking the exam. So with that, I'm gonna actually turn the floor over to David. I'll let him do his introduction, and he's gonna go through some core fundamentals about the Microsoft certification program.
All right.
This one's
many of you.
Oh,
no, mine's working now.
Oh, it is working. Okay. Thanks, David. So the correct answer is always B, no. Just kidding. And other things that you may have heard in the past, the correct answer is not always the longest answer choice. So, and any of those like urban legend kinds of things that you may have heard about the certification exams, just kind of dismiss that. Read the question just like David said and answer with the you know, the content that's in your head. So we're going to go through two fairly extensive exams in the time remaining, which is basically 60 minutes. So we're going to try to cruise through this pretty quickly. We're going to start with 7413, and the first area is planning and deploying a server infrastructure. These are the percentages of the main groupings of material on the exam. So the 7413 exam has 20% taken from this section. What this session will do is basically expand on what's called the objective domain, or in layman's terms, it's really the course, the exam outline that's published up on Microsoft.com/learning, which tells you these are the areas, the functional groups. So these bullet points here we refer to as functional groups, and then below that, there are headers there, and I'm going to try to go one or two layers deeper than what's published there to give you some additional insight. So designing an automated server installation strategy, what this encompasses is essentially going through and selecting an appropriate imaging strategy. So you want to know, let me pause. So what this session will be about is what I said. We're going to go into that. I do have some sample questions. We're not going to go too much deeper. I'm not going to tell you things that are on the exam. So just to prepare everybody, if this is not what you expected, this is a perfect time to get up and leave, and I won't be offended or embarrassed. So back to the slides. You need to know the difference in approaches between doing bare metal versus virtual, when one is indicated versus another. The difference in the distinctions between high, light, and zero-touch deployments. So again, as we go through these, if there are things on the slides or things that I say that aren't, you know, registering with you or clicking or ringing a bell, these are things that you want to make note of to go back and review, make sure you understand sufficiently. Again, the difference in images between thick, thin, and hybrid as well. Tip here, kind of a sample question, but not really. What would be the number of images required for a particular configuration? So as David was saying, the question, the goal statement would be, you need to blah, blah, blah. You need to design a configuration, a deployment configuration that meets the requirements above. And then you would have to identify what the minimum number of images might be. And further, how many disks might be required to use a particular approach. The second piece on here is designing a server implementation using ADK, a Windows Assessment and Deployment Kit. Big tip here, know what every single tool in the ADK does. So if you've not used ADK before, download it, install it, work with it, read about it on TechNet, make sure you understand it. These are rich areas for creating and developing questions, is to go into a toolkit like this and pull something out. Not something necessarily obscure, but it's testing the breadth of the products. Know how to add custom drivers and software packages to images, also very important, and know how to update images. And there's a link at the bottom here which is useless to you sitting in the audience, but will be useful when you get access to the slides. Designing an automated server installation strategy. This is designing a virtual server deployment. So you want to understand implementations around Hyper-V, how to use System Center 2012 and 2012 R2 Virtual Machine Manager, as well as WDS. How those technologies compare, how they differ, how they integrate with each other. Everybody, just kind of show of hands, everybody kind of following this, where this is session's going? Okay, great. Plan and implement a server deployment infrastructure. So you want to understand how to configure standalone as well as AD integrated WDS servers. The difference is there, so that would be a great area to understand what the requirements are. Sometimes that's another rich area for questions, are things that, you know, seem kind of silly. Well, geez, you know, we can look this up on TechNet. Why would I have to know this or remember this? It's a good way to write a question to differentiate or make a answer that's completely correct and other answers that are completely incorrect. How to configure multi-site topologies and distribution points in System Center 2012, specifically around collections and distribution point groups. Configuring a multi-server topology and multicast deployment. And again, a link here, and I'm apologize, I'm going to go through these pretty fast. So, server upgrade and migration. Upgrade and migration strategies, as I just mentioned, prerequisites, first bullet point here. What do you have to have in place? In-place upgrade versus a server migration. Compare and contrast. What are the distinctions there? You want to be familiar with that and understand the migration planning tools. Hence the tip, be familiar with MAP, the Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit, and what it can do. Again, just like the ADK, download MAP, install it, work with it, make sure you understand what's in there, what it does, how it works. Planning and migrating server roles. This is a good one. Know how to migrate print queues, you know. When was the last time I ever set up a print queue? I mean, come on. But it's fair game. This is material. Again, like David said, it's not intended to trick you. It's just to demonstrate your mastery of a topic, of a particular subject area. Know which roles can be migrated and which ones can be co-hosted. That would probably be another great area that there might be some questions around. Migrating servers across domains and forests, designing a server consolidation strategy, and I apologize that I appear to just be reading these slides. I know you can sit there and read them as well, but I'll try to add vocal emphasis on certain things. Planning for capacity and resource optimization, and this one is a lot around ADMT, 3.2. So there's some links here for the guide and supported OS and target domains. If I was writing the questions for this exam, that would be certainly an area that I would dig into those links, find some distinctions, and write a question or two around that. So here's our first sample question. So now we'll have a little bit of fun. We're not going to have people call out the answers. We'll just do this kind of silently in your head with, you know, the other person in your head. These are also not super representational for what a real question is like. As David said, there's a lot of case studies. There's generally a lot more in terms of setup for a question. But this one, you're planning the migration of sales.company.com. You need to identify the tools for this migration. Seems like there's certainly some information missing to be able to answer this, but here's to reemphasize one of David's points that I think he kind of just touched on very briefly. The way I take these exams, case study, multiple choice, whatever, the very first thing I do when I pull up the next question is I read, which tools should you select? I read the goal statement, the part that says you need to or what should you do. And then I read the answer choices. Okay, so I've not read the stem yet, the business problem, the context. I'm reading, and it's the same thing with case studies. So I've been doing certification exams since NT351, and I'm sure there's people in here who have me beat. But I went through the old infamous Windows 2000 case study, the design exams, and they were very much like the new case studies where it was pages of information, and then you'd have five or six questions. The very first thing I would do, same thing on case studies, on the new exams. I don't read the case study. I don't want to know about Contoso or Fabricam or how many domains they have or how many SOT. I'll get to that. I want to know when I read that, what's the first thing I have to answer? So I go get what I have to answer first before I ever read the case study. Okay, oh, I need to design an ADFS implementation that whatever. Then I go back and I read the case study. Because if you read through it the first time without like a purpose, you're like, oh, well, that's interesting. Contoso has four domains and, you know, you don't care. You need a purpose to read it the first time. So everybody got your answer choice for this one? 3, 2, 1. Pretty straightforward, ADMT and GPMC. So again, there's probably not enough context in this, but ADFS and Federation Gateway aren't gonna be migration tools, so that's certainly not the answer. You can kind of work your way through what's here. So planning and deploying virtual machine manager services, so VMM. And you might say, well, these are the server infrastructure exams. Why is there system center stuff on here? It is what it is. This is fair game. This is part of the published objective domain. So you need to understand VMM service templates, what goes into those, what consists of them, operating system profiles, and hardware and capability profiles, which if you're a VMM person, have worked with it, that makes sense to you. If you have not, that's an area that you're going to need to review and brush up on and be familiar with for the exam. There's some links here to those specifically. And the tip here is knowing the components associated with templates for hardware profiles and guest OS profiles, because that I can imagine that would be a perfect question is, you know, what things comprise a hardware profile in VMM. Because there's correct answers to that and incorrect answers. So it's very black and white. Configuring image template libraries, managing services, and managing logical networks. Again, more around VMM. If you're a VMM person, this makes sense. If not, this is an area you need to spend some time focusing on. File and storage services. So understanding how to plan and implement storage spaces and storage pools, the disk types that are supported, and how to set up and enable data deduplication in spaces or pools. Here's a great tip. Deduplication is used on NTFS volumes, but it can't be used on boot or system volumes or on cluster shared volumes. Couple other points. Configure an iSCSI storage name server. NFS, and device-specific modules. Just quick show of hands. How many people know what a device-specific module is, a DSM? Wow. Okay. That wasn't a shaming wow. It was just... So device-specific modules are basically a little piece of code from a storage vendor, and it plugs into your iSCSI initiator. Actually, it's MPIO, I apologize. So storage design considerations, understanding the difference between SAN and DAS and NAS and where those are applicable or not in a design, planning for iSCSI and fiber channel SANs and the components involved, how to configure an iSCSI target server. Know those steps. So that's really not a tip. That's a strong tip. Built into the operating system, install it, configure it, set it up, you know how to do that. So here's another fun, I don't know if it's fun, fun sample question. You're evaluating data dedupe for the planned Windows Server 2012 file servers. All servers will have identically configured volumes. So on which volumes should you enable deduplication? C, D, E, or F? The volumes. Everybody ready? Data volume. Okay. It's probably not going to be quite this clear. This in full, what's that? Yeah. Full disclosure, this was actually somebody else's deck from last Tech Ed, and I've just modified it over the last couple events that I've presented. The last time I presented it, it just said C, D, E, and F. So there was no context as to which would be the right answer. So I've added system volume, data volume, and CSV so that you actually have a chance to get the right answer. What you would probably see if this was a real exam question, again, not to be tricky, but it would probably be laid out differently. There'd probably be a table at the top that would show the volumes and what they're used for. So it's just a different way of interpreting it. It wouldn't be in the answer choices like this. So you'd have to read the table and understand, okay, you can't use it for system or boot volumes or CSVs, which was a tip on the previous slide. And then clearly you have your answer here. Okay, we're through one of 10 of the functional groups. So as I said, we have like 95 slides. We're gonna try to keep going fast. This is design and implement network infrastructure services. So yeah, your heads are gonna be spinning at the end of this session because there's so much possible content on these two exams. DNS namespace design, understand disjointed and integrated DNS infrastructure. When you would have a disjointed DNS namespace, how that works, when it's applicable, types of zones, hierarchy, how to do delegation, how to do replication, how to do migration to application partitions, which has been around for quite some time. These are not things that we do in our day-to-day operations roles or whatever role you're in. So these are the types of things that you do want to go spend some time on and make sure you review and understand. Tip, understand when and how to use forwarding, conditional forwarding, delegation records, stub zones, and so on. Those stub zones always keep coming back up. So make sure you can describe how zone replication is implemented as well. Name resolution strategy, IPv6. Yeah, I know, IPv6, it's there. Probably not gonna get super involved in that, but you know, just be prepared that there might be something about IPv6. How to do secure name resolution, DNSSEC, DNS socket pool, cache locking, single label DNS name resolution. The tip here is understand, make sure you know when and how to use global name zone. So of all the things on the left-hand side of this slide, how many people in here have not heard of at least one of those things, right? Yeah, so I mean, pretty much everybody in here should be raising your hand. So these are things that you want to go back and review, at least touch on. DHCP scopes, DHCP interoperability, and DHCP v6. Again, some more IPv6 relevant material. Tips, understand how to place scopes to support geographical splits of IP addresses. Most of us probably work in fairly complex environments now where you have multiple locations, so this is certainly relevant to what you do. Managing scopes using PowerShell, those are other great areas, great ways to write a question. It's almost impossible sometimes to create an exam question where it's clicking through a GUI or a wizard, but if there's a PowerShell way to do it, hey, that's a great way to write the question. Give you some PowerShell options. So understand how to recognize that. DHCP management, database maintenance, the management pack and delegation. Again, know how to use PowerShell to migrate or move DHCP data. DHCP filtering, HA, split scopes, failover. I'm gonna stop reading every single word on the slides, so. Failover clustering, know how to configure DHCP failover. IPAM, everybody know what IPAM is? Anybody? A couple people know what IPAM is, okay, yeah. Know how to do an IPAM implementation, manual versus using group policy, distributed versus centralized, how to do the configuration of it, management, the console, migrating IPs, managing DHCP and DNS servers. The tips here are probably, these ring a bell for me. Not in that I remember them as questions on the exam, but they ring a bell in that, yes, if I was writing these questions, that's what I would have done. I would have a question around the IPAM security groups, so know what those are, and I would definitely have questions around the IPAM commandlets. So, again, access these slides after the presentation and make sure you understand, you know, set IPAM configuration. So sample question, you need to recommend a solution for DHCP logging. The solution must meet technical requirements, which are not present here. And when I was reviewing this, at first I thought there might not be enough context here to answer this, but there actually is. What tools should you select? DHCP logging. Everybody got it? Go with your first gut instinct. IPAM. Exam objectives, back to this. Network access services, 17%. The percentages really don't matter. It's you're going to have questions, and they're not going to be identified that, oh, okay, here's an IPAM question. Just, again, as a review for people who haven't taken an exam for a while. VPN solution, different connection types, tunneling protocols. These questions have been around since, you know, Windows 2000 or before. PPTP, L2TP, certainly not SSTP, but authentication methods, those are ancient questions. They've certainly been refreshed, but those have been around for a long time, so there should be no surprise there. PAP, CHAP, EAP, blah, blah, blah. Encryption methods, VPN server placement, how that integrates and interoperates with NLB, how you would do that. Connection Manager Administration Kit, CMAC, RADIUS, Network Access Policy. Just to pause here for 30 seconds, if there are things on these slides that you have not heard of, like the, you know, the CMAC, many people here may not have heard of that, don't concern yourself overly too much about going out and researching that. At most, it might be touched on, or it might be the component to one question. So don't freak yourself out too much, but this is to illustrate the breadth and depth of these exams. Design and implement direct access, which almost no one can actually implement in real life. That's just my personal comment, and I can say that because I work for Microsoft. What are the components, the design choices? IPv6, 6-4, Teredo. The prerequisites, server client and infrastructure to do direct access. And migration topics from UAG, side-by-side versus offline. Again, another hopefully helpful link here. Scalable remote access solution, so site-to-site VPN, more direct access here, multi-site remote access clustered with NLB. These are all fairly real-world design topics, approaches on how you would do this, configuring packet filters and implementing packet tracing. NPS, Network Protection Solution or Network Policy Server, the server role used for both VPN and direct access. The tip here is to know the roles service requirements for NPS, HRA, and certification authority. Quick on-the-spot quiz. Who knows what HRA stands for? Somebody shouted out. Health Registration Authority. I think I heard it from a couple people. So that won't be the question, by the way. It won't be, what does HRA stand for? It would certainly be a little more in-depth than that. Network access protection, what the architecture is, network policies with a little sub-bullet there on forced tunneling. that might be something I would, you know, what was forced tunneling again? I'm going to go look that up and spend 5 minutes reading about that. Oh, look at that. That's the tip. Understand what that is and when to use it. Network protection solution, continued NAP enforcement methods, design considerations. The tip here is to know when to use each enforcement method and the requirements for them and how to configure them. Implementing multi-radius deployments, configuring NAP, NAP enforcement, endpoint protection client, anti-malware, and monitoring for compliance. Everybody following? Still with me? I know, it's early. Sample question. So you need to configure, recommend remote access solutions that meet the VPN requirements. Which solutions should you choose? So again, we don't know what the VPN requirements are. But I believe you can still answer this. So I added the comments here. So routing doesn't provide VPN connectivity. Network policy server doesn't provide VPN connectivity. So it, you know, it's a little abstract, but I worked with what I had. Active Directory infrastructure, logical. So back here, just to point out, there's logical and physical as the distinction between these two areas. But if you look at this, this is 43%, if my math, the math part of my brain is working. So 43% of this exam is Active Directory infrastructure, logical and physical. So multi-forest architecture, deploy, manage a test forest, including sync with production forests. Tip, to prevent a forest owner from gaining access to an object in non-root domains, create a new forest and migrate the resources and the accounts to the new forest. So that kind of sounds like the answer to a question, but I honestly don't remember. It's been a while since I took these exams. Forest design, understand certainly forest models, know the benefits and disadvantages of each forest mode and functional levels as well, and then DNS design for AD integration is certainly pretty core. Again, these are not things that we do every day, regardless of your job, even if you're the, you know, if you're enterprise admin and schema admin in your environment, you're still not doing this every day. So these are things just to review and make sure that you're up to speed on. Forest trusts, very important, but again, these are things that you do once or twice maybe at your company or your organization. One-way versus two-way, security considerations. Know how to configure a Kerberos Realm Trust. That's where I would go with that question if I was writing one. Forest restructuring, how to do upgrades, migrations, renames, rendom, repadmin, gpfixup. Use gpfixup after a domain rename. So completely unrelated to this session, I actually have a fairly large test environment that I run for a number of people at Microsoft, and I did a domain rename about a month ago. And initially, everything seemed to be pretty happy, and it seemed like it was going in the right direction. And then my scale-out file server, which is providing all my SMB shares to everything in my environment, had some issues. So basically my entire like 60 server environment is down and still floundering as I'm here presenting to you. So that's not for sympathy, just to share with you. It actually does work. And those are the tools actually that I used. I used Rendom, rep admin I didn't have to do because it's a fairly small network, and gpfixup I didn't have to worry about either because I don't have complicated group policy infrastructure. But know about those tools. Group policy strategy. This stuff's been on Microsoft exams since group policy was invented. So shouldn't come as a surprise, but just make sure that you're refreshed and up to speed on this. OU hierarchy design strategies, location-based, group policy management, some of the tools that are leveraged there, and group policy implementation, the classic inheritance blocking, WMI filtering, slow link processing, Active Directory permission model, administrative modes, decentralized versus centralized, AD quotas, delegation methods. Know how to configure Kerberos delegation. That's pretty key. That's pretty important in this day and age. Delegation of control, delegwiz.inf, and admin SD holder. And the tip here, that is used to ensure that admins can delegate custom tasks using the delegation of control wizard. Again, something we may do a little more frequently, but still not on a daily basis. Sample question. So you need to recommend a management solution for group policy. The solution must meet technical requirements. Which solution should you recommend? And again, breaking down how these questions work, all you need to look at here is management solution for group policy. Which one? Oh, there's only one that does group policy management here. So the others are what we call distractors. AD infrastructure physical. So proximity of domain controllers. This is in the subject of site topology. Forest Root DC. Global catalog server, ops master roles, sites and site links, cost, schedule, interval. That's a perfect area to create a question around with a diagram. They'll show you three or four, five sites, put the site links in, put the costs or the interval or schedule on those, and have you determine which site link would be used in this particular instance and so on. Replication, how to optimize replication, number of sites, the bandwidth, that's another perfect area with a diagram showing the bandwidth between sites and which link would be preferred and all of that. Rep admin/show REPL and DC diag slash test replications, both pretty key commands there. Domain controller strategy, placement, again, of your global catalog or your operations master's roles, RODCs, and how you would leverage or use a partial attribute set, and virtualizing and cloning DCs, and there's a link at the bottom to that specifically. Branch office infrastructure, again, GC, RODCs, UGMC, branch cache, distributed versus hosted. Everybody remember the two modes branch cache works in? Hopefully, that's go review that quick. Confidential attributes, delegating administration, configuring your password replication policy, all the things that would be applicable to a branch office deployment from an Active Directory perspective. Sample question, you need to ensure that a new site link bridge is used by the KCC between two data center locations named HQ and branch. What must you do? Anybody got this one? Awesome. You're all stumped. So full disclosure, this is actually the only question in this deck that I wrote. So this is how I write questions. Anybody know? B? Nice. So site link bridge objects are used by the KCC only when the bridge all site link setting is disabled. Otherwise, the site link bridge objects are ignored. You know, is it tricky? No. It's hard, yeah. But that's how these questions are written, is you go out to TechNet, you find a detail. This is actually not that obscure. It really is an important detail, but only if you're in that world. So the challenge is balancing getting through this exam and then the rest of the, you know, real world knowledge that you function with on a day-to-day basis. So it's illustrative of being able to ramp up to take these exams, pass them, and then move on to the rest of your life. So with that, we now switch to 414. So if anybody was only here for 413, you're welcome to bye-bye. But I'm sure you're all here to take both of these because that's what you need to do for the MCSE cert. So this is knowledge not specifically mentioned in the exam objectives that are in the objective domain online. I'm going to leave this slide up for just a moment. Hyper-V Manager, Hyper-V Disk, so components, network settings, how to assign VMs to appropriate networks, and how to do NIC teaming. So these are things that you should be familiar with. To ensure that users can access a VM even if a NIC fails, enable teaming and then create a virtual switch. Here's a quick, completely irrelevant side question. How many network adapters do you have to have in a server, physical network adapters, to configure NIC teaming? Two, I hear three. One. That would be another perfect question because there's, you know, one right answer to it. Because you can actually create a team of a single NIC, a single adapter, and then create additional ports, virtual adapters on top of that. So that's actually a good trick. Not a trick, but it's an approach to consider in your environments. It's a way to give you additional connectivity options. Hyper-V disks, differencing disks, VHD versus VHDX. Be familiar with that. Dynamically expanding. Given the configuration information of various disks, parity, two-way mirror, three-way mirror, be able to determine the number of physical disks required per virtual disk. And I think, don't I have a sample question on that? I don't. Maybe I do later. Let's make one up. If you have a three-way mirror configured on a storage pool, how many disks can fail before you lose that storage pool? Nice. Good. Okay. Two, for those who didn't hear. Administrative model. Design and implement administration of VMM 2012 and R2. So understand delegation, user roles, the concept of clouds and how those are used in VMM. Planning and implementing self-service options in System Center, specifically VMM, Service Manager, and Orchestrator. I wouldn't expect these exams to go too deep into that because that's what the private cloud exams go into, and I'm doing those certification prep sessions. I have one this afternoon on the private cloud stuff as well. Implementing automated remediation, how to create and implement baselines in VMM and Configuration Manager. Everybody know what that refers to? About WSUS integration and baselining your servers and doing remediation, deploying patches out. Okay. Planning and implementing automation, configuring VMM to move a VM dynamically based on policy, the aggressiveness levels, which is what it's called. Tip, know what each product in System Center does and when to use it. This is a little higher level than the private cloud exams, which gets much deeper into those. Monitoring strategy, performance monitoring. tools, how to monitor particular various server roles listed here, and how to monitor a virtualized environment, planning for and implementing centralized monitoring and reporting, server manager, ops manager, and ACS. Yeah, I know nothing about ACS, so if I was taking this exam again, you know, and sitting where you are, I might want to go read up on that, or I might just say, you know what, any question that has ACS on it, I'm going to get wrong, so I'm comfortable with that. Designing an update infrastructure, know how to select an appropriate update management technology, cluster-aware updating. How many people have done that? Sweet. Deploying updates using WSUS, the topology for WSUS, replica mode versus autonomous mode. Know how to do software updates in VMM, how to do that integration with WSUS, what we were just talking about on the previous slide, the remediation of your servers and clusters. Update VDI. And know how to deploy updates using Config Manager, which is certainly different than how to do it in VMM. Automated remediation, baselines, VMM, create an update baseline. Config Manager, you create a DCM baseline. So that might be a good question there as well. Know how to do VMM integration with Ops Manager. It sounds big and scary, and it's not. It's a couple steps. You just get access to a VMM server and an Ops Manager server and do the integration or read about it. It's pretty straightforward. Again, repeat here. Sample question. You're configuring a 60-disk JBOD as a single storage pool with storage spaces. You configure the pool as a three-way mirror. How many disks can fail in the 60-disk enclosure without losing data? And full disclosure, this is actually, I forgot, this is the second question that I actually wrote for this presentation. And I'm a little surprised because we all just answered this about 3 minutes ago, right? So I think that illustrates if it's presented in just, you know, how many disks can fail in a, you know, a three-way mirror, that's really what this question says. But there's just additional stuff in here. So don't, you know, like David was saying, when you take these exams, if you know this material, so everybody who answered two before, one and two, actually, you can have one disk fail as well, right? The correct answer would have been, you know, if what's the most number of disks that can fail before you lose data would have been two. But you guys, anybody who said two before, you're the qualified candidate for this question. It's just this has been presented in a slightly different way with some additional information. So don't let that stuff, like, baffle you or befuddle you. If you know in your gut what the answer is, answer it. And it sometimes it can be that easy, and sometimes not, but okay. Sample question, you're deploying the new web app to several servers that include a custom registry key. Solution must ensure that the registry key was applied successfully. What should you do? Select the best answer. So those types of questions have come back. And I'll agree with David that they don't necessarily, are not designed to trick you, but they're a little bit less black and white sometimes. Good? Ready? Three, two, one. Config Manager, create compliance settings. So those are the types of questions that you will probably see. Moving on, we've got three more functional groups. Highly available enterprise infrastructure. So you can imagine that this deals with failover clustering, for example. Design choices, what your network infrastructure is. Understand resource failover and failback policies, how to control those. Quorum configuration, know what the types of quorum choices are and what the defaults are. If you've got a 6-node cluster versus a 7-node cluster, what are the default quorum selections when you build a cluster? Because it's different between a 6-node and a 7-node cluster. Cluster shared volumes, tips here, use CSV to implement the clustered file server role of a file server for a scale-out application data type for a cluster. Use CSV to minimize the downtime that shared folders might be unavailable during the failover of a file server role. What else? Steps for configuring a scale-out file server cluster to ensure that a disk stays available. So understand the SOFS role and how to implement that and how that works. So that's scale-out file server, SOFS. Highly available network services, how to plan for and configure NLB, design considerations, multicast versus unicast, where NLB would be applicable for what type of workload or application, for example. And then automated deployment of NLB using VMM service templates, how you do that. Storage pools and storage spaces, HA multi-replica DFS, multipath IO, including server core. How to configure MPIO on a server core box. Anybody know? Just show of hands. We got one guy. I mean, if you know how to do it, you know how to do it. If you don't, you wouldn't know the answer. You can actually fire up the MPIO commandlet, the GUI, on a server core box. That's really the only feasible way of doing it. So, configuring highly available iSCSI target and iSNS server. Know how to do a clustered iSCSI target server. That's a good area to be aware of. Highly available server roles, I'm not gonna read all of these. DHCP, DFS, SQL Server, database replication would be the best way to ensure DR in a data center SAN. Business continuity and disaster recovery. Using Windows Server Backup to back up VM files and folders, Active Directory domain and forest recovery, AD recycle bin, and Hyper-V replica, which is the area that I'm focused on a lot more these days. So sample question, you're planning to implement two Windows Server 2012 clusters. You need to plan the application of automated Windows Server updates in your plans. What should you include in your plans? Best answer. Should just jump right out at you. Cluster aware updating. Although I could argue B and D as well, probably. So again, it's best answer, defined by whom. Server virtualization infrastructure, delegation of your virtualization environment. The user role profiles there, those are the four pre-built user roles in VMM. So I would be aware of those and the differences between them. That would be a perfect area for a question, I would think. Integrating third-party virtualization platforms to enable users to self-create a VM based on an existing VHD, you need a hardware profile, a a VM template, and a guest OS profile at a minimum? Probably another good question. Implementing virtualization guests, HAVMs, you have to create a cloud before you can delegate permissions for users to manage their VMs. Again, if you're a VMM person, have spent time in VMM, this would make sense to you. If not, it's an area you should probably spend some time focusing on. Use the MAP toolkit to generate monthly reports without having to deploy agents on VMs. That's probably another good angle for a question. Creating VMM templates, placement rules, some of the guest resource improvements and additions, dynamic memory, smart page file, dynamic optimization with the aggressiveness level setting again. Virtualization networking, so VMM logical networks, including IP virtualization. The tip here is know how to enable MAC address spoofing on the virtual network adapters of VMs and why you would do that, when and why for MAC address spoofing. Know that. Hyper-V host storage, standalone Hyper-V hosts versus clustered, SMB versus cluster shared volume, although not necessarily versus, they can be combined. Guest storage, virtual fiber channel, iSCSI, pass-through disks. Some of this stuff you simply can't get experience with unless you have access to, you know, lots of cool spare hardware like, you know, I do, but many people don't. Like the virtual fiber channel thing, you can't play with it unless you have HBAs in your Hyper-V hosts. You can't configure it. And then you need, you know, a SAN, which is a small detail. So, I have two, by the way. Are you jealous? Virtual guest movement, migration between Hyper-V hosts, how to do live migration, SAN migration, network migration, storage migration should probably be on here as well as shared nothing live migration. Understand all of those, what is required, what the configuration is, and so on. Plan for and manage P2V, well, that's dead in 2012 R2. It's not even there, so I probably wouldn't sweat that too much. Same thing with V2V. Sample question, you're planning to deploy the new web app via a service template with NLB. Which component should be added to the service template? Good? Nods? No? Ready? Bueller? VIP template. So if you've done service templates and worked with NLB, even the, you know, the Microsoft NLB provider that's part of VMM, VIP template. We're in our last one, so we've got 9 minutes left. Identity and access solutions. This, you know, and if you're not an identity and access management person, this stuff might blow your mind. It will. I apologize. So multi-tier certificate authority hierarchy, offline route, standalone versus enterprise. I went through the third rotation of the directory services Microsoft Certified Masters program. I don't remember that. So these are things that you need to brush up on. I would need to brush up on it to go take these exams again. Configuring and managing offline route CAs, certificate enrollment web services, NDES, network device enrollment services. There's not a tip here, but things around like certificate enrollment web services, you know, which components need to be where and available on web servers so that clients can do certificate enrollment on your network. Again, there's probably one guy or one lady in your environment who owns this and sets it all up, but try to understand it for the exam at least. Trusts between organizations, implementing and managing CA migrations, monitoring CA health, managing certificate templates, certificate renewal, internet-based clients. That's interesting. So someone who's internet connected and not on your local network. That's probably a great area for a question. Certificate deployment and renewal, key archival and recovery, revocation of certificates, federated identity solution. So this deals with claims based auth. I'm surprised the word ADFS is not on this slide somewhere, but that's what it telegraphs to me. Identity integration with cloud services, attribute stores for ADLDS, ADDS, and SQL Server. ADRMS, one of my personal favorites. Service connection points, trusted publishing domains, policy templates, RMS client deployment. There's certain clients that have the ADRMS client built-in capability, or then the client needs to be pushed out and deployed to them. Know how to do an HA deployment and how to decommission as well. So, sample question. You are planning to implement Active Directory certificate services for supporting certificate management for web app authentication. What is the minimum number of certificate servers you should plan to deploy? Select the best answer. I would argue there's probably not enough information here to properly answer this question, but it's two, just because you don't want to do it with one server. So one should have frankly been one of the answers. That would have been a little bit better question, but so that actually worked out pretty well. I apologize for going through it so fast. I know it seemed like I just glossed over a lot of stuff. There actually is a great deal of insight and content in these slides. Again, I don't take much credit for that at all. These are somebody else's slides, but I would certainly review these slides at your leisure post-event when you're preparing for the exam as a reminder for some of the areas that you want to brush up on. Again, we've pretty much gone a couple layers deeper than what's published on the objective domain. Identified some of those areas that you need to do some extra studying. Related content, I was supposed to put this together, breakout sessions. Okay, well, it's Wednesday morning, so a lot of them have already happened. But I would argue that there's a ton of related content sessions. But I would actually suggest that you maybe focus on the labs. So some of you who, and the reason I mentioned, my plethora of hardware and SANs and all this great stuff was actually to come to this point, is that for those of you who don't have access to that sort of thing, which is most people, frankly, I would spend some time getting access to and doing the hands-on labs that are downstairs in the main convention center. That's a great use of your time. You can review. I know this is the week that you're here to go sit in a breakout and listen to really smart people educate you and present stuff. But if you're preparing for these exams, you might want to take advantage of some of the pre-built labs that have been put together. It might give you a jump start on being able to do some of this stuff. So I listed a few labs here, building your storage infrastructure, exploring virtualization, introduction to failover clustering with Hyper-V. These are just the ones that I just, jumped out at me. There's a ton of them. So again, if you don't have a lot of physical servers available, you might want to do that exploring virtualization with Hyper-V one, because you need physical servers to do that. The storage infrastructure one might even be more interesting, because most people don't have lots of J-BODs and SANs laying around. Certification exams, obviously, 413 and 414. Resources, Channel 9 is where I believe these decks should be available to you. Everybody knows about TechNet and MSDN, the Microsoft Learning site. If you're here, you're probably familiar with that as well. Please complete your eval. We'd love to hear, you know, what you thought, how we can tweak the deck. These are difficult sessions. A lot of the other certification prep sessions, if you've been in them, deal with one exam. The ones that I'm doing this week cram two exams into the same time. So we went through 413 and 414, and then the private cloud ones that I'm doing in a few hours are 246 and 247, and they're just chock-a-block full with content like these. So scan this QR code. My suspicion is that this has not been updated like it hasn't been for any of the other certification prep sessions. So when you scan this, it'll probably say, oh, you can't eval this with this code because that session's done. But you could try it and just let me know. I'll leave this up. My last slide is just the finish slide. So thank you very much for coming. And please let me know if you have any questions. We've got 1 minute, so that's perfect. I can duck all the questions.